And so this morning, I'd originally let Jade know about two readings, and the Holy Spirit got hold of me, and I've got four readings now. It happens. So the first one is a short reading from Psalms. It's not the whole of Psalm 119, because that goes on for a little while. It's just verse 105, and the sermon title today is The Keepers of the Lamp. And 105 says, and this is a prophecy that was given by Isaiah in Psalms, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. And as I thought on that particular verse, I was aware that God is saying, the light on your path. Your path's different than my path. Therefore, the light needed for you is different than the light needed for me. And that's why the word, the living word of God, is so important. Because one verse may not really stir me up, but it will you. Your word is a lamp for my feet. The second scripture comes from Isaiah 9, verse 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of a deep darkness, a light has dawned. And this was the prophetic word of the Messiah to come. And then we move on to John 1, verse 1 to 5. No wonder Jesus loved John. He got it, boy. He really got it. And the Holy Spirit blessed him with these words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. No half-baked measures. Who is he talking about? He's talking about Jesus. Jesus, the Word, was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Amen? Amen. And then finally, Matthew 5, verse 13 to 16. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. That they may see your good deeds and not glorify you, but glorify your Father in heaven. Amen? Amen. Once again, we ask that the Holy Spirit adds to our understanding as we think on these things. As I thought about this morning's scripture and its references to a lamp, I visualized an old Eastern lamp. You know the type? They've got a spout on the front and the handle on the back. And those lamps, they have oil in them and a wick on the top. And do you remember that once upon a time story about Aladdin and the magic lamp? Do you remember that? Hey? It's about a poor boy who was used by an evil man to be lowered into a treasure cave. And although there were priceless jewels and treasures around the cave, the evil man only wanted the oil lamp. The boy's curiosity got the better of him, though. And despite his instructions from the evil man, he picked up the lamp, and because it was dusty, he started to clean it. And as he rubbed it, a magic genie appeared. This is a fairy story, God, but this is not gospel. So don't have me for telling a fairy story. It is a fairy story. And he, as he rubbed this magic lamp, a genie appeared. Somebody big like JJ. And it offered him three wishes. Three wishes. And thereafter, the story unfolds until finally these immortal lines appear saying, and they all lived happily ever after. But have you noticed in recent times, every time we hear a story or a joke about someone finding a magic lamp or winning a lot of money or something like that, it ends in a mess up. Have you noticed that? Usually the first wish is very self-indulgent. But because of a misunderstanding or a play on words, the wish makes the person worse off. And so hastily the person makes the second wish and only makes matters worse. And so finally tries to correct it and he ends up back where he started from if he's lucky. I say he because it's always us guys. We always get the blame. Just sidetracking. Mike, 50 odd years, well, how many? 30 years you haven't trained your wife? 58 years. I haven't learned how to fill the ashtrays up yet. Is that a common occurrence? No, I mean, I pour them out and put it into Lillian's wine. I mean, you know, what more does she want, you know? And so, the moral of these stories or jokes is that the person is so selfish, he wastes three wishes that could have changed his life forever. Let's see, what's that got to do with Scripture? The lamps and the priceless gifts. In this morning's Old Testament reading, we heard the word of God telling us, your word is like a lamp unto my feet. Which means the word of God as found in his holy Bible is a guiding light that we should safely follow through our life's dark and dangerous places. And there's plenty of them. If you haven't figured it out yet, weeds grow naturally, good things you have to cultivate. And if we pick up our old family Bible and clean the dust off it and open it and read it, we will find three amazing gifts that are offered to all who read its enlightening words. Yes, three gifts, like the three wishes in our fairy story. But can we receive and keep the gifts, or are we going to lose them? Like the foolish people who wish for the wrong things and end up losing it all. What are the three most precious gifts to be found in the Holy Bible? And remember, there are thousands of treasures in this Bible, just as there were many treasures in Aladdin's cave. Because in the Bible, we know there's knowledge about, in Proverbs, verse after verse after verse of wisdom. Many, many, many treasures. But there are only three precious and unique gifts that are found only in the Bible. You'll find these words of wisdom in Proverbs in other holy books. I'm sure somewhere it'll be a stitch in time saves time. Stitch in time saves five. I'm sure you'll find that everywhere. Do unto others as they would do unto you. You'll find that everywhere. But what are the three that you will not find anywhere else but in the Bible? The first is the gift of love of God. And early on in the Bible, as God establishes holiness and complete authority, he commands, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make yourselves an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth below or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of their fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to my thousands, to a thousand generations of those who love me and keep my commands." The first commandment and this gift of God's love is offered to us throughout the Bible until 1 John 4, verse 8, we're reminded, "Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." So the first gift is the love of God. The love of God. Make not the mistake of not loving God Almighty, Jehovah. Don't substitute Him for money, for wealth, for power, or whatever. How then can we lose this gift of precious love from God? We can lose this gift of love if we worship other gods. We can lose His love if we love ourselves more than we love Him. If we set ourselves up as God, oh, that's done so easily. We will lose His love if we worship and love the idols of wealth, power, alcohol, self-gratification. There is one way to keep the love of God, and that is the way Jesus instructed us when He said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind." This then is the first gift, the love of God. The second gift is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is because of the unconditional love of God that He provided us with grace. Because we love God, but we slip up. We love God, but we still allow self to come first so often. Grace that forgives us of all our sins. Sins that cause us to lose the first gift, which is the love of God. This gift of grace given to us through Christ, who paid the price for our sins. How then can we lose the second gift of grace from our Lord Jesus Christ? We can lose it if we do not confess with our lips and believe with our hearts that Jesus is the Son of God who died for our sins. Thereafter, we must repent of our sins, be baptized, and become one of His disciples, not as a Sunday Christian or a Mexican wave Christian. Do you know what a Mexican wave Christian is? You lot over there on a Sunday go, "Praise the Lord." And on Monday, the hand comes down. Next Sunday, "Praise the Lord." And then the hand comes. It's a Mexican wave Christian. Hello? How can we lose this gift? And then what is the third gift towards priceless immortality? It's the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit as given to us by Jesus when He left this earth. He is real, friends. He is real. He's not the Holy Ghost that you do not see or understand or this or He is real. He's available. He listens. His calling as God, the Holy Spirit, is to guide you and I and to comfort us. To guide and to comfort. The Holy Spirit has been given to us by Jesus as a gift from God through His love. He is our conscience, and He will lead us out of sinful darkness into the light of salvation through Jesus Christ. How can we lose the gift of the Holy Spirit? By denying His very existence. By being disobedient to God's word, by being self-centered and glorifying self, by choosing to remain in sin and choosing to ignore His spiritual call on our lives. Did I hear you calling me to do this marriage guidance? No, Lord, it can't be me. I don't know enough. I'm not good enough. Hey, JJ. He's spoken to you. The bad fella whispers in your ear, doesn't he? Call me to go down into the beach mission. I thought I was starting a surface church. No surfers came. The destitute came. The drug addicts came. The street boys and girls came. And the flotsam and jetsam of life claim came. And it was so easy. We got going and we were doing well. And the Lord, the Holy Spirit spoke to me because he said, do not look left or right. Because when I look left, I could always see somebody else in ministry or para-ministry, perhaps not doing the job. But the Lord says, you're not here to judge. I judge. I want you to look where I'm calling you and keep your eyes on me and plow a straight plow. Do you understand that? It's so easy in the body of Christ. Oh, I'm working so hard. And who says it? It's the bad guy. Who did those flowers? What about that music? You know, what about those guys at the back there? Were they doing their job? Hey. The Lord's calling you to play that. Play it well. The Lord's calling you to be the beautiful alpha female you are. Strong. No, he is. He's calling Eric to be the forthright person who will say it and tell it as it is. That's the word of God, and that's the truth. That's the truth. Amen? So, the evil one comes along with the same old story. And what is that? How can he take the lamp, the light of the world offers? Well, just like the bad guy in Aladdin's story, he comes with a story, and it's new lamps for old, new lamps for old. Let me take your old lamp from you and give you a new lamp for old. How does he do that? New lamps for old. Well, it wasn't long after Jesus died, and the first new lamps for old were the Gnostics. Because after all, the Greeks knew all about philosophy and reasoning and all those things. And the early new lamp for old was, you need to know, you need knowledge. And faith in the words that Jesus spoke were being put down by the Gnostics. And after the Gnostics, we had all sorts of new lamps for old. In modern days, I'm speaking to the universe. The universe is telling me. Ancient aliens on TV. I applied for that job, but I didn't have the hair that that guy's got. You know, the guy, he's got that hair stands on end. Ancient aliens. My friend, you're half right. If you want to tell a lie, tell it near the truth. The ancient aliens, there's one ancient of days. His name's Jehovah, and his name's Yahweh, and he is the ancient of days. You want to look for ancient aliens, somebody that's not here. But got it wrong, he is here. He's here in the power of the Holy Spirit. What's our answer? What's our answer to the evil one when he says, new lamps for old? It's this. Tell me the old, old story. Tell me the old, old story. Tell me the old, old story of Jesus and his love. You see, the new lamps for old, when the Islam came along and the Prophet Muhammad and so on and so forth, but he didn't raise people from the dead. He didn't walk on water. He didn't heal the sick and the blind and the deaf. And thousands of people witnessed what Jesus did. And when Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, he wasn't lying. If you know Christ, when you've seen Christ, when you've accepted Christ, Christ is enough. Don't need more after, thereafter, new lamps for old. Tell me the old, old story. O keepers of the lamp, This lamp is God's light unto the world. Will you keep the lamp alight for the children of the world until they're old enough to carry it themselves? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. For this lamp is the word of God. It is a light into the world, and it keeps shining brightest in the darkest place. That is so true. So true. When you think you have little, when you take it to people who've got even less, that little is a lot. And whatever gifts and talent the Lord's given you, and He has, you take that gift or that talent and say, Lord, I'm available, send me. And that light that you have will shine ever so brightly. O keepers of the lamp, listen to the words of that well-known Christian song, which I'm not going to sing because Cindy will ban me once and for all. Jesus bids us shine with a bright, clear light, like a little candle burning in the night. In this world of darkness, so let it shine, you in your small corner and I in mine. Again and again and again I've preached this. You are in your place. You are the one that God needs where you are. At the dark path, the stumbling path that you're on, that somebody else is watching and following you. He needs you to show the way. He needs you by your examples of stumbling and getting up to show the way. You won't be able to say, I'm not fit enough. I'm not healthy enough. I'm not young enough. I don't know enough. All you need to say is, I know that my Heavenly Father lives. I know that God created me. I am a created child of God. And I feel His presence. I know Him. He knows me. And I want to pass on to you the love of God through Jesus Christ. Amen? So let it be.